This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to No Nonsense, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Matthias Wadner, along with my co-host, Will Lomas. As always, we are back to recap a Tennessee Titans win. Before we get into everything, just a disclaimer, Jeffrey Dahmer is on top. He is in the apartment on top of me. So if you hear the power drills going off, it's him chopping up dead bodies and turning them into zombies. Just kidding, but it was always good to jump on the trending train. There is construction on top of me, so if you guys hear that, I apologize. There's nothing I can do. I even complained to the manager, and he was like, there's nothing we can do. So great stuff there. Anyway, let's get into it. The Tennessee Titans win their third straight game versus the Commanders. They hold on to win 21-17 in Washington. They go into the bye week at 3-2. Will, how are you feeling about the game?
A lot better than I would have been if David Long didn't get that pick at the end. You know, it's hard to be like, it's easy to be mad on the day, right? Like on Sunday, it's so easy to be frustrated with the things they're doing and what they're not doing. And then, you know, once the score is in, it's almost like the opposite of the Giants game where we felt so confident the whole time. And then with like less than 2 minutes, the Giants take their first lead of the game. And you're just like, oh, this could go badly. Like, you know, but if the Titans would have won, I wouldn't have thought about that game ever again. And now we're here and I really don't, I don't have a lot of negative things to say about the Titans. I mean, plenty to talk about, but you know, because they won and because they won heading into a bye week after starting 0-2 the way that they did, they're going to get a pass for me from a lot of big criticism because, like it or not, you know, we've said it forever, but Mike Vrabel's teams play down to bad competition and they play up to good competition. And now that we know that the Giants are a good team and that maybe the Raiders are also kind of a good team, even though their record doesn't really indicate it, you know, it makes it a little bit more tolerable. But yeah, like just coming out of there with a win is enough for now.
Yeah, I think it's time to just accept that this is how pretty much every Titans game is going to go. Like, I don't see them blowing out too many teams unless they get fully healthy and Mike Vrabel changes his philosophy. But I really doubt that's going to happen. So we're going to have these type of heart-stopping finishes. They've happened in every single game that they've won, and it happened in the Giants game too. Shout out the Giants, by the way. Brian Daboll is doing a great job with that team. They are not very talented, and they're 4-1 right now. And it's looking like the Titans kind of kick-started that, but Giants are a good team, so can't feel too terrible about that loss. And then the Bills won. The Bills are they're a powerhouse, you know?
Yeah.
And what can we do?
The Titans played them when they were like at full strength. I mean, like they didn't have Gabe Davis, but they had like
in
all
Buffalo
of their defensive
too.
Backs still healthy before like, you know, whichever one went on IR with, you know, they basically took them on their homecoming, like their first game at home at near full strength. And they had to play Trey Avery at corner and it went exactly like you expected it to. So, yeah, I mean, that was a brutal game, but not one that I think we'll see repeated.
Yeah. So do these games still concern you, the fact that they're letting teams back into the games and they're all close, even though they're playing against pretty bad teams? Like, the Colts are not very good. The Commanders are not very good either, but the Titans aren't able to really put them away like a better team should. Or do we only care about the wins? I'm honestly at the point where I don't care. I just win the games, win the division, and then maybe you get lucky on a playoff run. Because that's kind of what this team has shown. They really haven't shown to be able to hang with the better teams. I don't think right now they're playing like one of the better teams in the league, but they're 3-2. They're probably going to win the division, because after I went on a praise the Jaguars little spiel a couple weeks ago, they are terrible. Like, they suck right now. The Colts are a disaster. The Texans actually stay in games, but they just don't have a lot of talent, and they have a very limited quarterback. So, I mean, it would be surprising if the Titans don't not run away with the division, but definitely come away with it.
Yeah, like, the most important thing is wins. Like, it's hard to argue against that, like, even if they're not pretty. I would say I think that the Titans look better the last 2 weeks than they did the first 3 weeks, if that makes... I mean, like, the first half against the Raiders was pretty strong, but, you know, really on defense, it's a lot of good and then really bad. Like, there's guys who clearly are struggling, but then you also have Rashad Weaver, who has 4 sacks, and Danico Autry, who looks awesome, and he has 4 sacks, and Jeffrey Simmons should have 4 sacks, but he only has 3.5 because he had to split it with Sammy O, however you say his last name. Like, those three are pretty much powering everything on the front, and then Tyr Tart, who has 5 pass breakups, and then I would say the last 2 weeks, David Long has looked better than he has, you know, the rest of the season. He looks back to David Long, where he's flying around and making plays, and not just the pass breakup or the interception or anything like that, but he almost had a pick versus the Colts where he drove on a pass on the outside towards Jonathan Taylor, and it was just a tip and not an interception because he was just a half second short. But, I mean, he's looked a lot better over the last 2 weeks for whatever reason. And, you know, once the Titans get Amani Hooker back, who's been out for 2 weeks with the concussion, like, they should, because he was fantastic the first 2 weeks of the season. I mean, like, he had an interception against the Giants that basically saved possession off of the muffed punt from Kyle Phillips. And then he kind of sort of almost had an interception against the Bills in the end zone, too. Like, you know, he does a lot of good things, so they're clearly missing him out there. But if you get those guys back and you get Elijah Molden back, suddenly the defense may have a chance at being really good again. And not that they're bad, like, they lead the league in third down defense, but it, you know, that's sort of where they are. And then the offense, if they could have guys stay healthy for more than a week or two, that would be great. Like, you know, they had to put Burks on IR, even though it didn't look like they were going to. And then you've got Nate Davis being a surprise inactive in just the day of, for some reason, and we don't know why. That's weird. And then Daly is terrible. It's like, but, you know, like, they do enough and they look good enough to win these games. So even if they don't have some miraculous upgrade in the middle of the season, they do look like the most complete and competent team in the AFC South. And, you know, the Titans are going to get hurt. That's what they do. But as the season goes on, other teams will sustain injuries and that have that fatigue too. So, you know, it may just be whoever's the most healthy and whoever is able to deal with the injuries the best once playoff time comes. But yeah, I mean, this Titans and at the first position, Jaguars second, then, you know, the Colts and the Texans underneath them, that feels like how the AFC South will shake out. It's just whether the team on top has 12 wins or 9 wins, and whether the second team has 8 wins or 6 wins.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about the AFC South and then the AFC as a whole in a few later on in the episode. But Like you said, yeah, it kind of comes down to who's going to be healthy and who can manage injuries. That's usually who ends up making the Super Bowl, if we're being honest. Like, look at the Bengals and Rams. Last year, they just got hot at the right time. They ended up winning a lot of close games, and they did enough to reach the Super Bowl. The Rams ended up winning. But look at them this year. They're terrible. They are not good at all. The Rams have an awful offensive line. The Bengals have a disgusting offense. I don't know what Zach Taylor is doing with them, but those teams made the Super Bowl a year ago, and, you know, it might happen for the Titans again. We don't know, even though they don't look like a great team, but it might not matter come playoff time. Going back to this game, I want to start with the offense. How do you feel about them? I don't know. They, like you said, they have a lot of injuries. I think getting Treylon Burks back will be big. I think the Taylor Lewan injury is it's big. Dennis Daly is terrible, man. I don't know what else he has to do for the Titans to try to replace him. Put Radunz in there, bring someone else in, because he's just getting bull rushed. He's giving up pressures in any which way, and Aaron Brewer isn't a very good pass blocker to begin with. He's just too small. He's a really good run blocker and very athletic, but put Daly next to Brewer on that side, and it's been a disaster, and it was a real disaster in this game with Montez Sweat just destroying the left side of the offensive line. So that's giving me a lot of pause about the offense going forward. If your offensive line isn't good, it just wrecks the entire offense. So what's your confidence level in the offensive line holding up going forward?
The offensive line is so weird because, you know, again, they had Raiden start on a short day with no notice, and they started him at right guard, and he was good. Like Tyler Rowland on a, the at Tic Tac Titans, I believe is his handle, did his video breakdown, and I told him ahead of time like to watch Raiden's, because whenever the Titans were in third and one or goal to go situations and they ran the ball, they ran it behind Raiden's and NPF, and they got it. I mean, they were consistently successful on that side, and every time there was pass protection, those guys held up longer than anybody else. And Brewer is fine, like, but he should be the worst guy on your offensive line. Like, he's not bad, but if there's somebody who's clearly worse than him, you're in trouble, because he plays a pretty low value position and he's only passable at it. So when you have Dennis Daly, who is just getting run, he looks terrible. Like, I don't know what the PFF numbers say or whatever, but like, he ended up on his back so many times, like just constantly got outworked. And then there were times when he would just miss his guy completely, and then he would just kind of like walk slowly forward away from him, so that it was like not clear that it was obviously him messing up. Like it's just so bad. Like, they should, and they won't, because they're going to play him at guard, but they should try him. They should try Raiden's out at left tackle, or they should bring another left tackle in to compete for the job. But like, there's no competition there, and maybe Daly plays better at guard at some point, but you know, I don't know what his future is, but it's not at left tackle, or it shouldn't be. So that's bad. But you know, the good news is Ben Jones looks really good. Nate Davis, when he's been in, looks really good. And Nicholas Petit-Frere, it looks good for a rookie. Like, he's not a world beater or anything like that, but the way he and Raiden's got to the second level on Sunday was awesome. I mean, it created these huge cutback lanes that Henry hit, and they look young and fast. And not that Nate Davis doesn't look like young, but he doesn't have that sort of lateral speed. He's more of a power guy, and Ben Jones just doesn't quite look as spry as anybody else. But I mean, you would think that those guys were the undersized athletic guys when they get up to the second level, and not Brewer, because I mean, they're every bit as fast as him, and I mean, they weigh 40 pounds heavier. So, you know, that was positive. But Vrabel said when he talked to the media kind of ahead of this week, he talked about how they were going to look at guys to see who should be playing more and who should be playing less. And I don't know a single rookie that shouldn't be playing more on this team. And the guys like, you know, Swain and Daly and, you know, those kinds of guys need to be heavily scrutinized by this coaching staff and probably removed. But we'll see. Like, that's something I'm interested to see, if it's just lip service by Vrabel where he's just talking, or whether they're actually do that work and hold guys accountable for failing. And we'll see what happens there. But the offensive line has some pieces. Like, I mean, you could put Dylan Radins in at left guard or left tackle, and if he played like he did against the Commanders, then it would be an improvement regardless of which position he played. But, you know, having Nate Davis back really gives you a strong, you know, strong side from center, right guard to right tackle, where you're pretty confident that when push comes to shove, you can run it that way.
Yeah, and remember the Bengals had an even worse offensive line last year, and they made the Super Bowl, just to go back to that point. So who knows what's going to happen. I like that you mentioned Swain, because I saw him get destroyed on pass protection reps as well in this game. He's just bad. He's not good at football. And the fact that you're trying to help Dennis Daly, who is a bad football player, by putting Swain right next to him, who is also a bad football player and blocker, what are we doing? But it is what it is. Yeah. They're Mike Vrabel's guys, and we're just not going to be able to convince him. So it is what it is. A good football player, Derrick Henry. He looks like the Derrick Henry of old. I know the numbers might not suggest it, because technically he only averaged 3.6 yards a carry, but he was breaking tackles consistently. He was hitting the cutback lanes when he needed to. He looked very agile, which I don't think we had really seen up to this point this season, except for maybe last week, I think it was. But the first couple of weeks, he really didn't look like himself. It looks like he's finally back to his best. He continues to make decent catches. He made a really good catch on, I think it was like first and seven, like 7 yards to go, or first and goal or something like that. And then he punched it in with a score. So I like it, man. I feel good about Henry going forward. I think the offensive line is run blocking decently well. The pass blocking is the real issue, but run blocking, they're doing well. And Henry is finally starting to hit the holes like we're kind of used to.
Yeah, that was I was going to say pleasant surprise, and that might be, you know, underselling Henry and what he's done in his career, because, I mean, he looked like 2020 Henry. Like, you know, it's probably the best game I've seen him play. Yeah, probably since 2020, because 2021, even before he hurt his foot, like, he was good, but it was all volume.
Yeah, like, he had 30 touches a game.
Yeah, and he had that Seattle game where he broke off that big run, but really, like, and I think he played well against Jacksonville too, but none of that was like, I'm gonna like sidestep and get, I mean, he was so much more confident when he ran, and there was no hesitancy, there was no, you know, there was no indecisiveness. It was really good running, and, you know, he showed that he could cut back, that he was reading things well, and he still missed some things, but, you know, you're allowed to miss one or two things when you're so good that the defense just can't anticipate where you're going to go. Like, and then he was running through tack. I mean, he looked really good, and that's great, and it's great heading into a bye, because, you know, he had a heavy workload, and that's, you know, that's awesome. The one thing that concerns me is that they only threw 4 play-action passes. And if you know anything about, like, this offense, the way it works best is if they run Derrick Henry and run play-action off of it. Like, it works nearly every time. That Tannehill is so much more effective. He's, like, 10 yards a play. He had, on those 4 play-action passes, he had as many yards as he did in all the other passes combined. Like, I mean, it was just like, I think it was like 90 or something like that both ways. And it's like, yeah, because the entire defense has to come and cave in. And if there's no run fake, or if you run out of empty, they're just going to dare you to throw. And they're going to trust their, you know, first round picks all along the defensive line to beat Aaron Brewer and Dennis Daly. So, yeah, I mean, like, obviously that makes sense. But for some reason, the Titans had less play action on Sunday than they did any other week. But yeah, like just in terms of Henry, like it's good for him to be back. He's kind of doing what he did last year where he's showing off like more developed hands. Like that one catch like near the goal line was really good. And then he had a screen pass that was great. And it was so believable that on the next play, he kind of faked like he was going out for a swing pass. And then the Titans ran a screen to Hilliard on the other side and everybody was, you know, over towards Henry and shifted over. And then before they knew it, they were out of position on Hilliard. So that's been a good connection for the Titans, that Tannehill to Hilliard thing. And if they can get stuff going where all eyes have to be on Derrick Henry and Hilliard can be in the backfield, that would open up a lot of interesting options for them.
Yeah, feed Dontrell Hilliard because he is a stud. Every time he touches the ball, good things just tend to happen. So it would behoove the Titans to actually get some of their playmakers the ball, especially with Treylon Burks injured. I would like to see a little bit more Kyle Phillips, more Austin Hooper, more Chig. Every time Chig touches the ball, it seems like he gets 10-plus yards. So I would like to see a little bit more of that. But in terms of the play-action thing, the only thing I could think of is maybe Todd Downing thought that his O-line wouldn't be able to hold up for that long. But it doesn't really work that way. The play-action is supposed to freeze the defensive line regardless of whether they're pass rushing or not. So I don't know. It is what it is. I hope we're not back to first year Todd Downing where he literally doesn't run play action at all. I don't think so. I don't hope so. So that's it for the offense. Let's talk about the defense a little bit because they gave up a ton of yards. Again, most of it through the air. The run defense is great. The run defense is very good. It has been for the past couple of years. It is again, just because they have those big guys in the middle, Jeffrey Simmons and Tyre Tart. Tart has really taken a step forward, and Jeffrey Simmons looks like an all-pro. It's impressive. But through the air, they just keep getting diced for a lot of yards, but they're not giving up points. I mean, they gave up 17 to Washington. They gave up 17 to the Colts. The Raiders got 22. Like, in today's NFL, that's not a lot of points. So they're doing a good job in terms of that, but they just give up these big plays now that are brutal. And this time it was Caleb Farley, again, who got the worst end of it. I have to stop the nonsense myself because on the podcast last week, I said that Diami Brown had amounted to nothing in his NFL career. And that was true. He hadn't done anything. And then he comes out in this game, scores the first two touchdowns of his career. The Titans secondary can make anyone look amazing. So that was frustrating to see. My question for you, Will, is do you think this is all just injury related for the Titans secondary? Do you think once they get the pieces back, like Amani Hooker, Elijah Molden, even Ugo Amadi, who I think they had high hopes for. Do you think once they get those guys back, the defense will be able to kind of hold passing offenses to a more reasonable yardage?
Yeah, I think their lack of a real slot corner is a problem because they're making McCreary play inside some. And, you know, it's not that he can't do it. He can. It's just for a team that is so afraid to put things on rookies' plates to throw him at outside corner and ask him to play inside corner and all like that when corner other than quarterback is the hardest position to transition to in the NFL. Like that's a disservice to him because he's been good. Like even the deep pass he gave up for the touchdown, like he was right there with like, there's nothing he could have done. Like, Darrell Revis could have been there and it would have been the same result. Like that was just for whatever reason, you know, Wentz placed a ball, you know, more perfectly than he did at any point this season and basically just handed it to him through the air. So, you know, sometimes you just can't make a play on those balls, but yeah, like having a slot corner will help because Fulton and McCreary should play on the outside. Ugo Amadi should have played in this game. By all accounts, he was, you know, full practice and all that, and he just got scratched. And I said this before the game that it felt an awful lot like the Jets game last year where the Titans don't take an opponent seriously and anybody who's even slightly nicked up doesn't play. And it felt like they wanted to get everybody completely healthy for the run that they have after the bye. You know, it would explain why Kyle Phillips didn't play a lot of snaps. It would explain why Nate Davis wasn't, you know, put out there if it was a touch and go situation on whether he should play. Like, it puts a lot of stress on your guys who were able to play. Like, I think that's a disservice to those guys a little bit, you know, to your Tannehills and Henrys and, you know, those guys who are basically at the mercy of what the people in front of them do, you know, to take Nate Davis out and all that. I don't know. Like, that's sort of a different discussion for a different time, but I don't know why we didn't get to see Ugo Amadi play, because he played slot corner really well for the Titans in week one against the Giants. Like, I think he led the team in slot corner snaps, and I don't think he allowed a completion. Like, he was really solid and he helped in the run game, and then he got hurt, and I don't know if he's just not in Vrabel's good graces or what, but that's kind of where we are now. And I don't know if he's going to be such a necessity once Elijah Molden's back, but he's better than, you know, half the other corners that get on the roster. And then, you know, Caleb Farley, like, I feel terrible for him, because what they should have done is they should have made him, if they're going to put McCreary in the slot, they should have committed to him and played him the entire time instead of pulling him in and out and in and out and in and out. Instead, they don't seem to have any plan for him. And they put him against a small, quick wide receiver again, the same thing that got Elijah Molden in trouble against Christian Kirk, his rookie year. And it's like, the Titans don't believe in playing matchups, but letting, you know, your banged up young corner who has relatively little experience, putting him one-on-one with no safety help over the top against a team that doesn't, you know, it's not like they were a big threat to run the ball. Like, the Titans snuffed out the run the whole game. You know, there's no reason why you couldn't have had Kevin Byard back there. But, you know, I say that even when Byard was back there, he didn't, you know, no shade towards Byard, but he didn't seem to have any interest in, you know, making a play. There was no, like, downhill aggression. Like, you know, I think there was one play where he kind of hit a guy after, but there's no effort made to, like, knock the ball away or get hands on passes or anything like that. It just looks like they're so afraid of, you know, trying to make a play and missing, that they end up not tackling guys and letting them make big plays and not covering guys well. It's a weird thing. Like, I don't really know what the MO of this defense is, because it seems to be maybe they'll make mistakes and we can get on third down. And then when we're in third down, we can attack and be aggressive, because that, like, I can't explain why there's so many other, like, huge busted plays or anything like that. Like, it's so strange to me. But again, like, maybe this is something they can get fixed, and injuries and, you know, the turnover at that position and the lack of a clear plan, maybe that gets solved going forward, and in the bye week, they can all take a breath and figure it out. But it's baffling to me why it's been so bad when you have so many good pieces.
Yeah, and especially because Shane Bowen's defense looked great last year, and I thought they schemed games very well. I thought they game planned very well for certain matchups. But this year has been weird. I don't know if the injuries have to do with it, but I do feel like they're committing a lot of mistakes that are avoidable, really. Like, you're not supposed to be giving up so many big plays through the air. So hopefully the Titans can get it fixed. I think earlier, a couple weeks ago, you said that you don't know if Vrabel has more influence over the defense this year. It would kind of make sense, but I mean, I don't know how much I can really complain if they're going to give up 17 points a game. You know, like, that'll win you most games in the NFL. The thing is, they've played against teams that are not very good. Once they start facing, you know, the Chiefs, the Eagles, maybe the Chargers, that have really good, well-oiled offenses, I don't know how much you're going to be able to get away with giving up so many yards, because those teams are so good in the red zone and in short yardage situations. So We'll see if it comes back to haunt the Titans, but we'll also see once Elijah Molden gets healthy, once Amani Hooker gets healthy, maybe Bud Dupree can finally get healthy and stay on the field. We'll see how that affects the Titans' defense going forward. So we're going to take an ad break here, and then we're going to come back and take a look forward at the Titans' remaining schedule and where they stand both in the AFC South and the AFC.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back into No Nonsense, a Tennessee Titans podcast. So the Tennessee Titans, now at 3-2, are going into their bye week, and then they come out of it playing against the Colts at home and then the Texans on the road. So two quick division games that could really let the Titans kind of dictate the division going forward. And I mean, when you look at the division that they're in, it's just bad, man. Like, the Jaguars just lost to the Texans in pretty terrible fashion. Trevor Lawrence seems to be back to his worst, really. Like, he does not look good at all after it looked like he was ready to take a next step. But he's committing so many turnovers and really missing on some easy throws. So they're down to 2-3, only one game behind. But that's big in the division, you know, and they already lost a division game against the Texans. The Titans have already won one against the Colts. The Colts currently stand at 2-2-1. They've won a couple of ridiculous games, to be honest with you. The Chiefs should not have lost that game to the Colts. And then last Thursday night, I don't know what we saw. The Colts-Broncos game was not football. It was some sort of other sport. But the Colts ended up winning somehow because Russell Wilson has turned into a bottom five quarterback in the NFL. So the Colts are still there. The Jaguars are technically still there. And the Texans are a little bit behind in last place. How do you feel about the Titans' AFC South chances? I feel pretty good. I just think these other teams have so many flaws. And the Titans are so good in coming out with wins in these one-score games, which is not normal. Like, that is supposed to regress to the mean. But the fact that it keeps happening makes me believe that there's just some sort of weird Mike Vrabel voodoo magic going on, and it's just going to continue.
Yeah, like, you know, you talked about, let's start with, you know, the Jaguars, which seem like the big contenders right now. Like, so they're such a weird team because their offensive line isn't necessarily good, but they've only given up sacks in two different games. But, like, Philadelphia crushed them and had four sacks. And then Washington got it two sacks against him. And, you know, those are two of their bigger losses. Like, you know, so it's like if you can pressure him, he's going to kind of fold. And Houston, instead of pressuring him, let him throw and picked him off and got two. It was the first time he threw two interceptions this season. But, you know, I don't know how they're winning games, because it's like if you don't pressure him, he's going to throw picks. If you pressure him, I guess if you pressure him and you don't get there, that's when you're in trouble. But I mean, he has eight turnovers this season, you know, and eight touchdowns. So, you know, that's great. But, you know, it's not future hero of the franchise. And like that was when I think they had back to back games where their injury report was clean the entire week. Like, they had remarkable injury luck over the first month and only ended up going 2-2, and then they just lost to the Texans. So they seemed like the big contenders, but now they're kind of falling apart. Their starting right guard is out for the season, And so, you know, we'll see how they go from here, but they don't seem like a real legitimate threat to the AFC South right now, but neither do the Colts. Like, the Colts offensive line looks pathetic. You know, Matt Ryan looks worse. So, you know, I don't think they're going to win. I don't think they're getting to 500. The Texans are oddly competent for a team that doesn't seem to want to win football games. Like, they're 1-3-1 because they have that tie, like we talked about. But, you know, like, they beat the Jaguars, and that's great. But they were also the only team to score a touchdown in that game, and they won 13-6. Like, it's not like Davis Mills looks better than he did last year, because really, like, you know, you look at their offense, right? It's like 20 points, 9, and 20 points was in overtime. So they got 5 quarters and got 20 points. So it's 20 points, 9 points, 20 points, 24 points against the Chargers when they were banged up and had just lost Joey Bosa. And, you know, they still lost by 10, and some of that was garbage time. And then 13 points. So it's like, in close games, they can't seem to score. Unless they're playing the Colts, and then I don't know. It's so hard to figure out what this division is, because 3 weeks ago we sat here and talked about how I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans overtook the Jaguars, and, you know, blah blah blah, and that, you know, the Texans and Colts were playing bad, but that the Jaguars looked for real, and now it's like nobody looks real, and the Titans are in the driver's seat. And you know, like, I think every other team has lost or tied in the division now, right? Because the Texans and Colts tied each other, and the Jaguars lost the Texans even after they beat the Colts. So it's like, if you go undefeated in the division, and that's not, you know, it's easier said than done, but you've already had your hardest road trip. Like, if you can just maintain and win the division, like, that puts you, what, that's 5 more games. That puts you at 8 and whatever. Like, I don't know if the Titans sweep this division, I don't know if any other team is getting to 8 wins. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. And maybe the Titans have a bit of a mirage right now because they played bad teams. But luckily, that's what the AFC South is. So, you know, we'll see what they do going forward. But it's hard not to be more confident about the Titans than any other team in this division.
Yeah, what's crazy is the Colts are 0-2-1 in the division. Is that right? they played 3 division lost, games already.
Yeah.
And they haven't won a single one. Yeah.
Because they lost to the Jaguars. Yeah. Then they lost to us, and then they tied with the Texans. So yeah.
Unbelievable. And yeah, that their only 2 wins have come against the AFC West, which is actually good for their playoff chances, because the conference record plays into one of the tiebreakers. So good for them, I guess. But yeah, bro, Matt Ryan, he looks worse than Wentz. He looks worse than Wentz did last year. Like, not even close, really. Like, Wentz only had 7 picks last year. Matt Ryan already has, I think, 6 or something like that, and he just keeps taking sacks because he cannot move. The offensive line is a disaster. Shout out Quentin Nelson. He's playing the worst ball of his career, even though he's a supposed all-pro. But we're not going to get into that. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't see the Titans giving up this division. I know the schedule isn't great going forward, but it's really not awful. And as long as they just win their division games, which seems like a very real possibility, like, they could very well sweep this division. I would not be surprised at all. And that already gets you to 8 wins and possibly already the AFC South crown. So I think they're in good shape. This stretch that we talked about for the past couple of weeks that they really needed to just come away with these wins, as bad as the first 2 weeks looked, they did it. They won the games that they needed to win, and now there's 2 more coming up with the Colts and Texans. Then we get into some tough games against the Chiefs. The Broncos aren't too good, but the Packers are okay. The Bengals are okay. The Eagles are very good. So that'll be a bigger test for the Titans going forward after the next 2 weeks after the bye week. So with the AFC South down, I wanted to look at the AFC as a whole as well, because I don't know. It's a weird conference. There are not a lot of good teams in the NFL right now. It's weird. It's just a weird phenomenon going on. So I'm gonna go through the AFC playoff picture right now, and then we'll talk through it a little bit. So the first seed right now are the Buffalo Bills at 4-1. Second seed are the Kansas City Chiefs, also at 4-1. The Titans come in as the third seed, actually, at 3-2. The Baltimore Ravens have the fourth seed at 3-2. The New York Jets are fifth right now at 3-2. The Miami Dolphins, sixth at 3-2. And then the Los Angeles Chargers at 3-2. Rounds out the playoff picture. Then you have the Colts, the Jaguars, the Broncos, the Patriots, the Browns, the Bengals. All of those are 2-3, except for the Colts, who are 2-1. And then you have the bad teams like the Texans, the Raiders, and the Steelers. Oh my God, the Steelers are a disaster. So looking at the AFC, do you think the third seed is where the Titans are probably going to end up by the end of this season? Because I mean, like we said, they're probably going to win the division. The Ravens have a lot of faults. I could see them maybe getting more wins than the Titans, but I don't know. Like, what do you think about the AFC right now, and where do you think the Titans stand?
Well, I think the Bills are pretty clear one with a bullet, right? So I don't think there's anybody who's going to take that spot from them over the course of the season. But it does hurt them that they have to play the Dolphins, who beat them once, and the Jets, who are also starting to look good now that they have Zach Wilson. Like, that is an interesting division where they might have more trouble than, you know, we would normally think. But I still have a hard time thinking they're anything but one. The AFC North is weird, too. Like, they're kind of eating each other. Like, the Steelers beat the Bengals, and then the Ravens beat the Bengals on a kick. But the Bengals are the most talented team. Like, it's just they're so mismanaged and coached poorly, like, right now that they just don't seem to be the sum of their parts. And that's weird. And it's going to cause friction. And, you know, also Joe Burrow is getting sacked every 5 seconds. So, like, you know, they invest all this money, and then it turns out that it's really hard to build an offensive line in the NFL, and he's getting smacked around. So that's a problem. You worry about his long-term health with, you know, the injuries and stuff he's had in the past. Like, that has to be a concern, and it's got to be in his head when he's playing too, you know, after being a gunslinger and, you know, all that. Like, that's tough. The AFC West is weird because everybody was said that they were going to be like this mega division, all that, but the Raiders have struggled to win games. The Broncos, you know, look lost at times, and I still cannot figure out why they're not better. But Russell Wilson just seems to like not be able to compute what's going on, and that's hurting them. And then the Chargers, you know, Justin Herbert's ribs are whatever, like, damaged for the season. And they said that that's not something that's going away. It's just a pain management thing. Bosa's got a groin injury. You know, Keenan Allen habitually has a hamstring injury. Like they lost their left tackle for the season. Like, who's awesome, Slater. But you know, it's like they've struggled with injuries as much as the Titans have, except, you know, they've also had an injury to the quarterback, and that, you know, that's the big difference, you know, that both teams lost their left tackle and their best pass rusher and all that. But, you know, they're not digging themselves out of that hole quite as well as the Titans have. So that division will be interesting, because we've seen that the Chiefs can just lose to the Colts. Like, they can play badly enough to lose to one of the worst teams in the league. So, you know, nobody's unbeatable, but third seed, second seed, maybe, depending on how the Titans look after this bye week. Because, I mean, the Titans do still get to play, you know, quote unquote, get to play the rest of their division 5 more times. They get to play the Broncos that we talked about earlier, the Bengals, who we just talked about not looking particularly good, the Packers, who just lost to the Giants in London and have really sort of like seem to have lost their fastball now that, you know, Aaron Rodgers lost his number one target, and they run the ball really well, but when they go against physical teams, they stop running the ball. Like, they just decide they don't want to do that anymore. So I don't know. Like the division or the road is hard ahead when you get to the teams like the Cowboys who are playing well and the Eagles and all that. But at the same time, like how many wins is it going to take to be that 2 seed, to be the 3 seed? You know, 10? I mean, that 10 wins is not an impossible task for the Titans who've won 9 or more games in each of the last, 5, 6 seasons. So it's interesting. Right now that feels right based on what we know about the Titans. But again, with this team, if they come out of the bye and decide that they're committed to the Jeff Swaim-led offense, then we could be in trouble.
Yeah, agreed. These AFC teams are just beating themselves. And that's why you mentioned how few wins it might take to get the second seed, just because these teams keep beating each other. And it's going to be like this the whole season. I mean, the Browns are at 12 right now. They're 2-3. I think they've looked really good, to be honest with you. They probably... I think they lost to the Falcons. That was a pretty bad loss, but they should have beaten the Chargers this past week. They didn't because they missed a 54-yard field goal, but they were able to get there because Chargers head coach Brandon Staley went for it on fourth down from midfield. That guy has no feel for calling for decisions, for like high gambling decisions. It's crazy. I mean, if Vrabel did that, we would absolutely destroy him. So I don't know. The Chargers aren't very well coached, in my opinion. They have one of the worst run defenses I've seen in a really long time. So are the Browns, really. Like, if Henry is going to play against the Chargers, assuming he's healthy, he's going to destroy them on the ground. And then I just look at some of these other AFC teams, and I don't know if they're better than the Titans. I don't know if the Titans are – they're not amazing. Like, they're a very average to maybe above-average team on a good day. But neither are these other teams. I think only the Bills and Chiefs, and even the Chiefs, they almost lost to the Raiders. They got down pretty big. And so I don't know. I don't know. I think the Titans are probably the fourth or fifth best team in the AFC, but anything's possible, man. I think they have a really good shot to do some damage. I just hope they're able to get healthy and kind of iron out some of the kinks that they have, particularly on offense. I think the defense will be fine once they get more healthy, because they're really not giving up a lot of points, and they're still getting pass rush, and they have players like David Long and Jeffrey Simmons who are playing very well.
Yeah, I mean, if this team ever figures out how to score in the second half, like, and that sounds joking, but genuinely, like, they've scored, 21, 24, and I guess they only scored 10 last week, maybe, I forget what they scored last week in the first half, but, like, they score well in the first half. Like, even when they didn't score on their opening drive, they moved the ball well enough in the first half, give or take some terrible sacks from Daly and pressures and all that. So, you know, if they can figure out how to do just not even – they don't need to exceed what they're doing in the first half. If they can just replicate what they're doing in the first half of games, they'll be great. Like, I mean, like, they will move into one of those top two or three teams in the AFC, because what they do – what they did against the Giants, where they could constantly kind of apply pressure and score points, and, you know, you score in your opening drive, you score later, you score in the third quarter, like, stacking those points allows the defense to stay aggressive. And that's why when the Titans have been on top, like they were against the Colts and against the Giants and all that, like, when they're on top, the pass rush looks even better. And it's just about continuing that momentum and not giving the other team the chance to say, okay, they don't score in the second half, so that weird mentality is clear. Teams are more aggressive against the Titans in the second half, so we'll see what happens. And I don't know why that's not working better, but, you know, maybe it's just something they can figure out after the bye.
Yeah, we'll see as we go forward, but it is nice that the Titans get a bye this week. I think they need to get healthier. I really want to see Treylon Burks back on the field. I know he's on IR, so he's going to miss a couple more weeks after the bye, but I do think they need him out there, and some of these defensive players. So hopefully they can all get healthy and we come back from the bye and go on a good run on the way to the playoffs. And hopefully the season ends a little bit less worse than it did last year in the playoffs. So we'll see. We're going to take an ad break here, and then we're going to wrap up with Stop the Nonsense.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome back into No Nonsense, the Tennessee Titans podcast. Will, do you have a Stop the Nonsense for us?
Yeah, and it feels kind of like a cheap shot because, you know, PFF is always terrible and all that. And I don't want to pick on PFF specifically, but they posted their grades or whatever. And the top player was for the Titans was Rashad Weaver over Jeffrey Simmons and Tier Tart and Derrick Henry. And like, I hate when I have to argue against players that I like because other players that I also like are being slighted. But any human who watched that game and didn't think Jeffrey Simmons was a man on fire, or watching Derrick Henry, like, you know, do Derrick Henry things again and catch, you know, also adding screen passes and all that stuff into his game, like, it's crazy to me that, like, these people not are employed, but, you know, are employed. Like, it's crazy to me that people listen to PFF because, you know, I don't need to beat this drum too hard. I've said it too many times before, and you know, this is not an original take by me or whatever. But, like, I'm begging to know why they won't grade Jeffrey Simmons higher, because they did it in week one when they rated Jerry Hughes with like a 92 or whatever, and Simmons was below him when Simmons destroyed the Giants offensive line. Like, I mean, they couldn't even get close to stopping him. And, you know, and in this game, he was chasing down screens. He was running down receivers 30 yards down the field. He was, you know, getting pressure, getting sacks. He should have gotten 2. He got credit for 1.5. Like, he dropped into coverage with Tier Tart on the goal line and knocked away a pass. Like, I don't know what more you want Jeffrey Simmons to do to be graded as, you know, a 90 or whatever. I have to assume it's whatever weighting system they use weights penalties too highly. And the penalty he got that was the roughing the passer where he barely grazed Carson Wentz's helmet knocked him down. But it's just crazy to me that, like, and the reason why this upsets me is because you'll see these lists throughout the week that are like, these are the highest graded defensive tackles. And then somebody will quote tweet that and they'll say, these are the best defensive tackles. And it's like, no, that's not we have to stop letting people pretend that they're using analytics or whatever when they're just copy and pasting lists from PFF over onto their own Twitter. And like, it's so aggravating. But on one hand, yeah, maybe it is good because the Titans need to get a deal done with Jeffrey Simmons. And if the world knows how good Jeffrey Simmons is, maybe he will get more expensive. But just from the player's perspective, like, I don't know why he just doesn't get more respect, even on his own team when they graded Weaver higher. And like, Weaver was solid, but I mean, Jeffrey Simmons was substantially better. Like, and DeNico Autry doesn't even make the list for some reason. So I don't know. It's frustrating because people will swear by PFF. And then when you try to, you know, say, oh, well, actually, like, this guy was better, and you post clips of film, people will just say, well, it says that, you know, he only got one run stop, or it says that he allowed this many pressures. And it's like, okay, but I'm showing you the clip. You know, and this is what happened, and this is where they're saying he was wrong, and he's not wrong, and people just don't want to seem to believe. Like, it's just too convenient for them to believe PFF, and it's aggravating. And I'll try not to use PFF again this season, but it's just they give me such ready ammo every time that it's so difficult not to.
It's so easy. It's so easy to use them, and I feel you. Like, how on earth can someone watch that game and think that Rashad Weaver played better than Jeffrey Simmons? Jeffrey Simmons had one, I think it was a two-play stretch. He tracked down Terry McLaurin 30 yards down the field, like you said, and then the next play runs down Carson Wentz on a scramble. I don't know if they credited that as a sack. I think they did initially. I don't know if they kept it, but the dude is unbelievable. Plus, he's bulldozing every offensive lineman that he goes up against. The guy's an absolute monster. I don't know how he's anything under a 90, honestly, in any game that he's played so far this season. But it is what it is. PFF just, I don't know. I don't know. They make up numbers. It's actually really weird. I mean, remember, they had Joe Flacco as like a top five quarterback in the NFL this season. So we need to take everything. We just need to stop listening to them. But yeah, they give us too much ammo. So my stop the nonsense, it has to be the roughing the passer calls that happened this week. I mean, if you haven't seen them yet, you need to go and look at them right now. The first one was on Tom Brady. It was the Falcons against the Buccaneers. It was a one-score game. On third down, Grady Jarrett sacks Tom Brady, kind of throws him down. Not really. He really just tackled him. But because Tom Brady is 45 years old and a frail old man, he falls in a violent manner. By the way, Brady kicks Grady Jarrett in the midst of all this right after the play. That doesn't get called. They call it roughing the passer, and the Buccaneers end up getting a first down, and they end up winning the game when they very well might have lost. They very well might have lost that game. That was Jerome Boger who made that call. We all know how terrible he is. Anyway, everyone just completely crapped on Jerome Boger and the refs in that game, rightfully so. I think even the league itself was like, okay, this was wrong. And then on Monday night, I don't know if you saw it, but Chris Jones got called for a roughing the passer call on Derek Carr for sacking him and falling on top of him with all of his weight, when even while he's sacking him, he literally took the ball. Like, he literally had the ball in his hands. He stripped him and then fell on top of Carr. They call it roughing the passer, and then the Raiders go down the field, and I think they might have gotten a field goal at the end of the half after that drive. But, man, I mean, the Chiefs ended up winning anyway because I think they were just pissed. The fans got so loud after that. It was crazy. But, I mean, everyone is destroying the officials right now. And it's not only the roughing the passer calls. Like, we saw it in the Titans game. The Christian Fulton defensive pass interference, non-existent. And then Christian Fulton tweets out that the NFL literally told him, like, that should not have been pass interference. What do we do? Can we have some accountability for the refs for making crucial mistakes that legitimately lead to wins and losses? I mean, it's ridiculous at this point.
Yeah, refs not having any sort of oversight is insane to me. Like, them just basically turning around and saying, like, well, we looked at it and, you know, that's the reason why we called it. It's like, nobody cares the reason why you called it. It's like, I want to see repercussions and not see the same five refs officiate all the major games.
They're always the same. No ref has ever gotten fired.
Like,
none.
Jerome Boger, like Hockley and his son, like it's so insane. It's like they're like Supreme Court justices. You cannot get them off. Like, that they just live as referees until they decide not to be. And whatever. Like, I don't know, but I have strong opinions on that, because when you watch that Raiders Chiefs game, everybody's kind of making fun of the way that they're tackling at start, because they basically two hand touch Derek Carr and Mahomes.
Yeah, Max Crosby literally just held him up.
Yeah, and so it's like they're being as gentle as possible, and then once the game gets close and they actually have to start, like, you know, they give it a little bit more. They're like, "Whoa, this is too much," and it's like, "Come on," like, and that has to be fixed. They said they're going to address it after the season. I would imagine we see much less, like, unless it's helmet to helmet or actually egregious type stuff. I think we'll see a lot fewer of those penalties going forward. One last note is the good news for Titans fans is that the Colt, is it Texans Jaguars this week, or what is it? There's an AFC game that The AFC division, I'm looking at it right now.
Colts Jaguars is this week.
Okay, Colts Jaguars, and that will be officiated by Jerome Boger. So you'll get to see an absolute
love it.
So I encourage everybody to check that out.
Oh man, yeah. Chris Jones had a good quote after the game. Well, I don't know the direct quote, but he pretty much said, like, I understand that you have to protect the quarterbacks, but then you have to make roughing the passer calls reviewable by the upstairs. Like, the same way that turnovers are automatically reviewed, I think roughing the passer calls should be too. And I think that's a pretty good way to kind of limit some of these mistakes that are just egregious, man. Just egregious. So we'll see what the NFL does. As much as people want to act like, oh, the NFL is losing me with this. No, they're not. They're not. You're going to keep watching no matter what happens. They have us all addicted. But hopefully they come up with some changes. So for Matias, for Will, that'll do it for us. We'll be back. I don't know if we'll be back next week, actually, since it's the bye week. Probably in 2 weeks. Actually, maybe we could. Yeah, probably 2 weeks from now. We'll be back.
Once the Titans trade for Brian Burns, then we'll do a podcast. But yeah.
Yeah, you know, I was actually going to mention the Panthers earlier. I was saying if we need a left tackle, could go get Taylor Motone. I know he's right tackle, but could probably play left. I don't think they'll give us a Kwanu, who they just drafted, but maybe.
Yeah, it might be worth not, but maybe.
Might be worth a call. But we'll see. We'll be back soon. And remember to always stop the nonsense.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.